If the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that.
Welcome to Southern Pod Sports, presented by Clover Crest Media Group and CMG Podcast. We're streaming live on StreamYard. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sander Sanchez. How you guys doing?
Chilling, baby.
We good, baby. How about you?
I'm good, man. I'm excited. Yesterday was a big day in the NBA as the trade deadline came across. We got a big UFC fight night as well over the weekend. But like I said, I want to start at the trade deadline because as of yesterday, 44 players got new homes, guys, which is the most in the last 30 years come trade deadline. We saw Aaron Gordon. He's in Denver now with the Nuggets. We see Nikola Vucevic. He's now in Chicago Bull. And Sander, your Miami Heat made a move too. You guys got Victor Oladipo there to team up with Jimmy Butler, your boy Tyler Hero, boy Robinson. It doesn't even feel like you guys lost anything. I mean, you said you guys lost Snapback Kelly, but that's a pretty good trade if you ask me. But, you know, it's exciting. It's an exciting time in the NBA season always, and it's good to see new faces and new places. So I'm going to start off with you, Pride. You see any winners and losers in yesterday's deadline?
Yeah. Obviously, the most obvious winner to me, one of the most standout ones, is the Denver Nuggets. They went out. They got Aaron Gordon, I feel like they kind of needed a guy like him. They definitely did need like a third option in terms of nowadays when it comes to the league, you need a big three. And that was always the question. Oh, well, who can step up and fill that role? Now you kind of have Aaron Gordon who's, honestly, he's been playing like a he's a solid player. He's a stretch four. He can give you great defense. He's shooting over 37% from the three-point line, which definitely is going to help in terms of spacing the floor out. He's going to give you great defense. And another person they acquired also was JaVale McGee. I'm not going to say that JaVale McGee is the second coming to Shaq. I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to make that debate at all. But this is not the same JaVale McGee from, say, 5 years ago. That's not the same JaVale. This JaVale he's got championship pedigree, and he's basically rebuilt his reputation in terms of when you hear his name, you don't think he's a laughing stock anymore. You kind of start to put some respect on his name. So it kind of does give you a solid backup. So let's say you want to rest Joker for a game or two. Let's say he gets injured. Let's say he's in foul trouble. Or maybe they want to experiment and they want to play Colossal for absolutely no reason.
Pride. Just to cut you off real quick. We talk about three-time champ now in JaVale McGee, huh?
Exactly. He got pedigree now. That's what I'm saying, man. Like, he ain't just no bum no more. You feel me? Like, he definitely now is a dude who can give you something. Let's say for some unknown reason, Denver wants to try experience something. They want to play big. Imagine Jokic at the four. Like, that's a massive lineup. And I get it. And nowadays, people like to play small. But with a guy who's got the passive ability like Joker, man, it's definitely going to be something scary. So that's definitely a winner. I would call a winner. A kind of winner where I would say, yeah, sure, they upgraded, but I'm not going to call them a full-blown winner, is the Clippers. They got Rondo after last offseason. They desperately wanted him. Now, they couldn't make the numbers work because everyone was offering him a one-year contract, and he wanted a two, which is why he went to Atlanta. Now, it's going to be – the only reason I say it's kind of good is because they got rid of Lou Will. Now, obviously, Lou Will has not had a great year, but I would have given up Patrick Beverley more because at least when you have Rondo, you can still kind of use Lou Will. I mean, what's Pat Bev going to do? Because when he brought the ball up, it was only because Paul George or Kawhi Leonard didn't want to bring the ball up. So now you got Rondo. You know, Kawhi has wanted a legitimate point guard, which is what Rondo is, because Pat Bev isn't that. He's a defensive ball stopper, if that. But even then, like, if you really look at it, his defense, just the base of his defense is just him being annoying. It's not like he's this phenomenal stopper that you just put him out there and you know for a fact he's going to stop. No, he's just
pesty.
Exactly. Pesty. He's kind of like a few years back what Lance Stephenson was trying to do with LeBron. He was just being annoying. And that's the thing with Pat Beverly. Now that you got Rondo, where's he going to go? Oh, wrong ear. But it's like, where's he going to go? Like, what's Pat Bev? What's his role? Because as time goes on, his numbers, his minutes, they're going to drop. Especially with Lou Will, I guarantee you the guy they're going to want to be that guy to give you 13 or 15 coming off the bench, is going to be Reggie Jackson. And he can't. He has potential to do that. So you can't really sit there and say, oh, yeah, Pat Bev has the opportunity to fit in another role. There's really no role for him. So that's why I say it's kind of good. I would have ranked a little higher if they had gotten rid of Pat Bev. But the fact that he's still on the roster, it's going to be a little weird. Now, I'm going to name a kind of loser. You know, I'm not going to call him a full-blown loser, but they're kind of there. The Toronto Raptors. Now, the reason I say that, they don't know what they're trying to do at this point. At first, I get it throughout the playoffs. But first, they say they're done. They're going to blow it up. And they trade Norman Powell, who's averaging a little over 19 points a game, which is his career best. They get rid of him, right? They get rid of him, and they get – excuse me. They end up getting Gary Trent Jr., which is kind of funny because in his third year and 41 games in, he was traded from Portland to Toronto. And it's kind of funny because when his father played, it's the same scenario. From Portland over to Toronto, 41 games. When I saw that, I thought that was kind of funny. But they got it's crazy. But you got Gary Trent and Rodney Hood. So, like, to me, it kind of seemed like they're just kind of just trying to just dump people and just try to play low. But then they're asking for a king's ransom for Kyle Lowry, which is kind of weird to me because I'm like, I get it. He could help guys. But at the same time, let's not act like Kyle Lowry is all of a sudden this coveted prize that, oh, if you have him, he's putting us over the hump. That's not really who he is. As a career, he's averaging 15 points a game. And if I'm not mistaken, he's averaging over that this year, and they're out of the playoffs. So this whole notion that they're trying to say that, oh, yeah, Kyle Lowry is this phenomenal player, it's not really like that. So then it was weird that they kept Lowry, which doesn't make sense because this is the last year of his contract. Like this offseason, if I'm not mistaken, he's an unrestricted free agent. And he said, oh, I'll stay, but I'll go. So you don't really know what you're getting with Kyle Lowry. And I think that's what hampered a lot of his trade value, which is like, what team is going to take on a 35-year-old, in essence, a rental, when he wants? Yeah. And he said, wherever I go, I need an extension and I need big money. And it's like, bro, you're not that guy, you know? And so for me, I think they're kind of losers. Now, this one right here, I laughed. And when I saw this, I was like, there's no way you can call any other team a loser. But the Houston Rockets are by far not only the biggest losers, bro, but you can make a joke that they're the biggest joke of a franchise. I defy you. Name me another team who in the same season traded, in terms of rebuild, they said they wanted to rebuild, traded two all-star caliber players and got nothing for it.
Yeah.
They got no young players to build around because that whole big trade with the Nets, Caris LeVert, he's in Indiana. Jared Allen, which I thought they should have went for Jared Allen, he's in Cleveland. Okay, so maybe it's the picks they were looking for. The picks only are good if the Nets are trash. If the Nets just make it to the playoffs, at best, it's like a bottom 15 pick. Bottom 15 pick for a team that's rebuilding. That's awful. And it's the same thing with Miami. They got Avery Bradley and Kelly Olynyk. And in 2020, they have a swap pick. Again, that determines based on how good Miami does. If Miami just makes the playoffs, again, those picks go out the window. These aren't coveted lottery picks anymore. They're desperately trying to do what Sam Presti is doing in OKC, which I kid you not, bro, this dude – and one day gets more draft picks than hours of sleep I get at night. It's ridiculous how crazy this dude works. I don't know how he's finessing these people for these picks. It's nuts. Houston's trying it, and by far are horrible. Horrible. Today, if I own that team, everyone getting fired. Everyone getting fired. And after I fire everybody, I'm selling the team. Go. How much you want for it? How much you want to give me for it? Oh, $5? All right, I'll take it. Matter of fact, double it. Give me 10. I'll borrow the 5, and I'll pay you back later. Because right now, Houston's off right now, bro. So, yeah, so in terms of winners, I'm going to call Denver Nuggets definitely one of my top winners. My kind of winners, I'm going to give it to the Clippers. Kind of losers, I'm going to give it to Toronto. And definite losers, without a shadow of a doubt, is definitely going to be the Houston Rockets.
Wow. You really broke it down, Pride. And I agree with a lot of things that you said. You know, there were so many moves JJ went down in the trade deadline. You said a record-breaking, historic 44 players moved in this trade deadline. You know, you never see that ever happen. And it was exciting to see. I'm glad that a lot of the teams that are pushes into playoffs made moves that can definitely benefit them. The Dallas Mavericks, they made a move for a shooter in J.J. Redick. I think that's going to benefit Luka and Porzingis phenomenally. J.J. Redick is still a really good, respected shooter. And, you know, with help, you know, penetrating from Luka and in the post, the play in the post with Porzingis, that'll definitely help having J.J. Redick out there. Another move that we saw was, like you said, Miami picked up Victor Oladipo. And that's really going to help somebody like Jim Butler, you know, take off the pressure, take off all the scoring pressure off of Jimmy Butler and Bam. And, you know, he's definitely going to help Tyler Hero, you know, progress as a shooting guard, help him learn to play the guard position a little bit more. Because Victor Oladipo, he has tenure in the league still. He's still a young player, but he's still kind of like a veteran as well, you know, and he's learning to play the position the right way. Victor Oladipo, like we spoke about it before, he's not a turnover machine. He knows how to play well ever since days in Indiana. He was the leader there. So I'm very excited about that pick. And another move that hasn't been talked about, the Spurs are buying out LaMarcus Aldridge's contract. So he's going to be set to be a free agent. And I believe the Miami Heat are the front runners to pick up LaMarcus Aldridge. So having LaMarcus Aldridge, although he's at older stage in his career, LaMarcus Aldridge is still very productive, helping out somebody like Bam in the post, and he can stretch out the field as well. Prior, you talked about it last show. LaMarcus Aldridge, he can spread out the court, and you know, veteranship that goes a long way on the Miami Heat. You know, I'm so glad that we did get rid of Duncan Robinson, because I feel like, you know, that's a big piece for our team. He gets hot from three. He's one of the lethal shooters in the game. There's just no stopping that. I'm going to go with winners and losers, Pride. And JJ, if I see a big winner, I'm going to see the Miami Heat as a big winner. They made a good push. I'm not going to say that they got enough to maybe beat the Brooklyn Nets, but they're going to be in contention 1-4 for sure. So I'm very excited for that. I think they won the deadline for sure. Denver Nuggets for sure as well, because Aaron Gordon brings that athleticism that Denver needs. You know, Paul Millsap, Pride, you talked about it before. Pride Millsap is older. He's not the young Utah Paul Millsap or even the Atlanta Paul Millsap that we saw before. Aaron Gordon brings fresh legs. He's a dunking machine, and he's learning to spread the floor as well. When he started in the league, not that great of a shooter, but every year he's progressed. He's shooting over 30% from the three-point line. Really good. And you know, I think he's going to benefit Joker as well. They got McGee, like you said. I don't see McGee making that much of a difference, but, you know, he's still definitely going to protect the plane. Another winner, though, guys, the Chicago Bulls picking up Vucevic. Finally, you know, LaVine has an all-star to play with, and they can build something around that court. For years, as LaVine was there, he was really the only guy getting better each year. This year is his career year. He's averaging almost 30 points a game. And, you know, by himself, as an all-star like Vucevic, that's going to take off that pressure. And, you know, that's what we look for in teams, like players that can take off the pressure off other players. And, you know, that's going to a great core to build on. You know, they go Wendell Carter Jr., but he's not half the player Vucevic is right now. So I think that they made that pick. One team that you could kind of say is there, it also is Portland Trailblazers. They picked up Norman Powell from the Toronto Raptors. That's a great pickup, you know, to help with the second team. You know, you got to pair him up with CJ McCollum coming off that injury. CJ McCollum needs a little bit of time off. Norman Powell could come in and help Damian Lillard, and they're getting Nurkic back as well. So I would like to see how Nurkic plays now that he's going to be healthy. Maybe the Portland Trailblazers can make a small run with the big boys in LA being out. You know, these teams in the West are all hungry. They saw that the Lakers are hurt right now, and a lot of the teams that made moves in the West are teams that are trying to seize the opportunity to get a better position and maybe take out the defending champs. So the West is getting really, really rough right now. Losers, Atina, you kind of want to call as a loser. I would say Kyle Lowry. He's not a team, but he's the loser in my opinion because you know, he had – it's just in the position that he – like you said, Pride, he's asking for – astronomical. He's acting for over $25 million a year for 2 years. And, dude, you're just not going to get that type of money because you're about to be 30. You're 35 right now. You're going to be 37 by the time that contract's done. You know, you're just, what do you say? Kyle Lowry is just, you know, he's not that guy anymore. Pride, some people even called him. I heard Kendrick Perkins call him as the greatest Toronto Raptor of all time. And I'm like, what disrespect to Vince Carter and all the, you know what I mean, all the other guys. That
there is a case there, though. There is a case.
He wasn't bred there. He was traded there from Houston. He wasn't bred Toronto Raptor. He was from Toronto and played his career, then you could call him the greatest Toronto Raptor of all time. But you can't.
Well, not even then. Even it doesn't matter. Let's just say whoever played for Toronto, anybody. You tell me he's better than Kawhi? Kawhi don't know that jersey. He's not even better than Tracy. Don't forget, before Tracy went to Orlando, he played in Toronto.
Absolutely. So Lowry for sure is a loser in this situation because I think him and Nasir Adjiri were asking too much for him, way too much for him. He's definitely a loser. Real quick, before I get away from the winners, a big winner is Lemon Pepper Lou. Lemon Pepper Lou is definitely a winner. He's going to ATL. He's going to Magic City, KO. You already know how it is over there in Atlanta. So he's the biggest winner in this whole situation. But back to the, you know, losers. Orlando completely, you know, a lot of people are looking, had a meme up of, you know, Will Smith, the Orlando GM face, like, where is everybody? Like, who am I going to coach? Like, who am I going to put out there? But, you know, I understand it. They're rebuilding. A lot of the players that they had, the players were good, but they're not good here. So let's get what we can for them now while we still can get value for them and, you know, start the rebuilding process. So I understand. So Pride, I would call the Clippers as, you know, I think they got what they needed. So I would put them also as a winner because they need a guard. Regardless of what they let go of Lemon Pepper Lou, they kind of needed that guard like Rajon Rondo for the playoffs. Because if you telling me you would rather have Patrick Beverly or Rajon Rondo in the playoffs, like who would you rather have? You know what I'm saying? So I feel like it's still a small good move for the Clippers. I wouldn't call them as complete losers, you know. So I don't like that they gave away all their draft picks. Like literally, I feel like the Clippers are not worried at all about the draft and just worried about free agents and buying out contracts. Like I don't think that's gonna win and that's gonna compete. You gotta have these homebred players and these fresh legs. So, you know, I don't know, JJ. There was so many moves, but I think my Heat are the clear winners in this whole trade deadline. And big loser in this whole thing was Kyle Lowry in Orlando.
Yeah, you guys pretty much took everything I needed to say. You know, but I just piggyback on what you guys said. I agree, Sandra. I think Miami and Denver were by far the best winners of the trade deadline. You know, adding Aaron Gordon was definitely a big piece for them. They needed a third guy, Pride. You know, like you mentioned, just Jamal Murray and Jokic. You know, we saw it last year in the playoffs. They just needed that one guy that could give them 20 at least, you know, to at least be able to compete with some of these big dogs. And Sander, your Heat getting a guy like Oladipo, man, put next to Jimmy and Hero and these boys, man. He I've always been a big Oladipo fan. You know, I just like his style of play. And he doesn't try to be too much of what he isn't. You know what I mean? He's very comfortable as the kind of player that he is. And you know what you're going to get for him night in and night out. So I think that was a great pickup when it came to the Miami Heat acquiring him. Orlando's the biggest bust. I don't think I can name you a player off Orlando now because all the guys that I knew are out somewhere else now. So anybody who has an Orlando jersey, throw it away and wait for the next guy to come through because honestly, right now, you guys got squat. A big loser.
I got a question. No, you could finish your loser, and then I got a question after that.
Okay. You know, a big loser, I think, to me, that you guys didn't mention, was the Lakers. You know, unfortunately, right now, they don't really have the trade capital. Hear me out. Like I said, right now, they don't have the trade capital, and I understand that. They don't have the pieces. You know, apparently, they were in the sweepstakes for Kyle Lowry, and I'm glad they didn't do it because that means that they would have to give up Schroeder and Harrow. And they even wanted Torrey Hunt, Tucker, THT in that deal, and it wouldn't have been worth it. So right now, I think that the Lakers, at the moment, they're in the buyout market. That's what they're really hoping for. They're hoping that Andre Drummond could photo them. And hopefully that's the case, because they do need a little bit more star power considering both their stars are gone. But why, the reason why I call them losers is because they're putting themselves in a position where they're hoping that happens, you know. And unfortunately for them, it always sucks when you have to be in that position where you're crossing your fingers hoping that everything goes your way. So that's why I say that, Pride. You want to push back on that?
Yeah, just I get why you're saying that. But there's an old saying, the best trade is the trade you don't make.
I agree.
That's the only reason why I'm going to push back just a little bit, because I do get your point. Because, again, yeah, they kind of need somebody to help them tread water until they wait for LeBron and AD to come back. So I do get your point. But at the same time, a lot of the guys that they were looking at, let's just call it, nobody on that on the market was going to swing the pendulum to the point where, for the Lakers, to the point where they were going to be good. You know what I mean? Like, right now, they need AD and LeBron to come back. So I do get your point. I'm not going to call them losers. I'm going to call them incomplete, only because THT, I love homeboy. I don't know, man. Just something about him, bro, is phenomenal, bro. He said, how much help? I'll make you a deal, Jose. Make you a deal. Go be somebody. Yes, sir. Go be somebody 1v5 and come back and talk to me. But as I was saying, the thing with the whole situation with the Lakers, I'm going to give them more of an incomplete. I'm not going to sit there and say that, oh, that they lost. Let's see what they do in the buyout market.
Well the way I see it, Pride, how am I going to give you an incomplete if you got the test and you didn't even put your name on it?
I'm going to tell you, no, don't do that. Don't do
they
that.
Ain't show up, JJ.
Don't do that. Because
they
this is what happened. This is what happened, right? The Lakers went to chemistry. You as a teacher said, oh, wait, this is math. And then you try to give me an F. No, but you gave me the wrong test. You see what I'm saying? Like, again, I do get your point with the whole, you know, they did have to make a move. But again, of all the guys you mentioned, of Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell, and THT, if I'm going to get rid of any of them, if I'm getting rid of Dennis. And the only reason is because next year, there's rumors that he wants to get paid. Like, if you guys thought Kyle Lowry was bad, homeboy out here want to get paid like he's Chris Paul in his prime type of deals, what he want.
Yeah.
And so that's the only dude I would think of moving on from just because of what he's asking for, because the Lakers won't be able to give him that. They won't be able to.
And in contrast, who would you rather have? I'm pretty sure Dennis Schroeder's around like 27 years old, and it wasn't until yesterday that I really realized, like, hold on, Kyle Lowry is 35? He's only a year younger than LeBron. Are you kidding me? Like, I didn't realize he was that up in age. Like, in my head, I thought he was like a 30-year-old because, you know, I don't want to make fun of his size, but he is a miniature guard in the league, and he looks good for his age. I'm not calling it what it is. He looks good for his age. He doesn't look like an older player, you know, but I didn't realize that he was that old. And the thing is, if you get him, you're going to have to re-sign him.
Yep.
At least, and he at least wants 2 to 3 years, and that was not the business that the Lakers are going to be in, considering, were you going to give up a 20-year-old THT? Horan Tucker? No way. He's a prospect right now that the Lakers see him very high on. So, of course, that he wasn't going to be mentioned in the deal. And you're talking about between Harold and Dennis Schroeder, they were 1-2 in the Sixth Man of the Year award last year. But that's too much value for the Lakers to give up for an aging player and Kyle Lowry. And I'm sorry, my man. You're a good player. I like him a lot. But when your average is 15, and I don't know how with 15 points per game, you became a six-time All-Star – that doesn't ring right to me. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it was a default thing in the East where you just had to put a guard up there and he just happened to be the best guy available, because those aren't All-Star numbers to me.
It goes by votes. And remember, he's the only team in Toronto, so that whole country voted for him.
Yo, I get it.
That's not what Yao Ming was getting All-Star votes, because the whole country of China was putting in their votes. And I love Yao Ming. He definitely did deserve some. I'm not trying to throw no shade, but I'm just saying, when you
that's
have
what
that.
Seems like.
No way. I like Yao Ming. That was my guy back then. When him and T-Mac were together, that was a pretty good team. But nonetheless, like I said, you guys wrapped it up beautifully for the most part for the winners and losers. Like I said, my winners, obviously Miami and the Nuggets, and the losers, the Orlando Nowhere. There's no magic. There's no magic
question,
there.
Though, why neither of you said the Bulls as winners, though? I mean, they ended up with an all-star to pair up with LaVine.
Where's that going to get them?
Reason why I say that, Sander, is because it's yet to be seen. You know what I mean? Right. Like I'm not sure. Like, I know what I get out of a player out of Oladipo because I've seen him in multiple stops, and he just happens to be the same player. a guy like Vucevic, you know, this will be his first time outside of Orlando. On I'm sure Chicago is the 10th seed, I want to say right now. So they're not even in playoff contention. So they're showing to go up. So now we could come here in a couple of weeks if the Chicago Bulls go up the standings. They're like, oh, now they're really coming off our winners, and we could address this at the moment. But at the moment, until I see it on the court, you know, it's a to be determined.
Let me just say one thing real quick, just before we transfer on to the next thing. There's reports coming in that Andre Drummond right now, the order of which he's considering on signing is Lakers, Clippers, and then the Knicks. And then according to this thing, the only way the Knicks would basically get him, because they have the cap space, is if they throw him basically a blank check. Yeah. If they throw him a blank check, he is willing to go. But based on how this report is looking, he's willing to go 1 year to win a chip, and then he's looking to cash in next year. So
I say sign with the Clippers or sign with the Lakers.
If I'm him, I go with the Lakers only because he's still going to get starting time. Because remember, they still try to replace Marc Gasol. They're still so he can go to a team. Yeah. And he's going to get minutes. And all they'll do with AD is move him up to the four. Because AD wants to play the four anyway. He loves the four. He'll play the four regardless. So
he don't want
to play
the five.
Exactly. Yeah, he does it if necessary. But he, in his ideal world, he'll be a four. And if they get Andre, that'll be perfect for AD.
Yeah. Nonetheless, yesterday's deadline was a very fun day to keep track on. A lot of moves. Like I said, 44 players got new homes. So I don't envy them because I hate moving personally, so I hate to be them right now. But nonetheless, congratulations, guys. Let's transition to UFC because tomorrow night we got a big fight when it comes to two heavyweights. We got Miokic versus Ngannou. I got to learn these guys' names.
Stipe Miocic.
Miokic.
Yeah.
Francis Ngannou.
And their second bout, that's a headline. UFC 260, you know, with these two heavyweights, and you already know when these guys hit, they hit hard, and when they fall, their earth trembles because these are some big guys, and this is their second fight. So I'm gonna throw it off to you, Sander. What do you think wins in this fight?
First of all, we have a banger weekend, guys. We have two of the best heavyweights at the moment right now going at it in their prime. Stipe. What else can I say about the man? He's the GOAT when it comes to the heavyweight division in my eyes. His resume is just phenomenal. You got two wins from DC. You beat Verdum in Brazil in his prime. You beat Overeem when he was Uberim. You beat Francis already. You already slain the dragon once. This is your second time going at it. And, you know, Stipe is just – he's just primed right now. And Francis – oh, my God. Francis scares the living shit out of me. I don't know if you've ever seen this man working out, but this man, it's just, he hits the bag in Iceland. And I'm looking at it from my phone. I'm telling you, this man is, I think he still holds record right now for the world's strongest punch. I'm not sure if it's still official, but the last time he was tested, he has the world record. So that's just an accomplishment within itself. He just goes to show you how much this man has in those hands. But the thing about Francis that I wonder is in the last four fights that led up to this championship run again, since his loss, I don't see anything that's progressed in his game. He's had a total of 4 minutes or less than 4 minutes in the last four or five fights that he won. So it's like I really don't see anything that's progressing in his game other than him still smashing people. Which I'm not taking anything away from him. He's a monster, but it's like, can you defend a takedown from Stipe? Because Stipe was able to manhandle you in that fight. You didn't know what to do on the ground at all. So that's my only question for Francis. You know, when it comes to KO percentage, they're both really similar. They both over 70% in KO percentage. You know, significant strikes, though, you know, who lands the more powerful punches? It's between the two, believe it or not, it's Stipe with almost three significant strikes landed, you know, over Francis, you know. And I'm just, that just goes to show you, Stipe is no slouch. Stipe can brawl, and Stipe is very smart. If he doesn't feel comfortable like he did in that first fight with Francis, he doesn't feel comfortable on his feet, he will take you down and see what you can do, because he's a pedigreed wrestler. And, you know, he has that immigrant mentality, you know what I'm saying? And he's also a battle-hardened firefighter. Like, he's a humble dude. Like, guys like Stipe don't grow on trees, I'll tell you that right now. You know, and he's in his prime. I feel like right now he's going to ride off in the sunset. Even though the winner of this fight is set to fight John Jones. So, you know, I think after that fight, Stipe will probably retire no matter if he wins or loses that fight. But I think Stipe can still handle it right now, because I just don't see any improvement from Francis Ngannou's game. I really don't. I don't know if he can wrestle. I really don't. I can see it all in practice. But, you know, fighters and veterans will tell you plenty of times. It's one thing doing it in practice in sparring. It's another thing when you're actually doing it and the lights are on you. You know, so yeah. I just don't see anything impressive that, oh, damn, this is different Francis. I just don't see that right now. On the other hand, I saw Stipe beat DC twice since Francis. I've seen Stipe, you know, come through big wins. I saw him lose to DC and come back and, you know, gather himself. And, I just seen so much Stipe that I don't think Stipe is going to let, just because he's a phenomenon, he's going to let Francis just, you know, run through him. I think Stipe is going to be methodical, and I think he's going to just, you know, I think he's going to be able to dominate. Another thing about this card, guys, we got Sean O'Malley coming back. You know, Sean O'Malley took a bad L, you know, to Chito, and Chito deserved that win regardless. I don't care. Chito won that fight. But we got the return of Sean O'Malley. Sean O'Malley, a lot. Dana White invested a lot in this kid. Dana White has been promoting this to be the next big thing in his division. And, you know, I'm still waiting to see. I saw a good knockout, one hitter quitter from Sean O'Malley, but I haven't seen anything that's going to be like, damn, this is the next guy. So I'm still hoping that he, you know, he's all that Dana White is saying he is. But, you know, impressive, bro, because we all watching. And if you guys see, the co-main is Tyron Woodley coming back, that bad loss from Burns. So let's see what he's going to fight. Luque. Luque's on the come up. But I still think that Tyron Woodley, he's not done yet. I believe in Woodley. He could probably make one more run for the title. I don't think he's done yet. But it's going to be an exciting card, though. I'm really excited about the heavyweights. You know, like you said, this is the Titans. These are the big boys. This is really one of the pristine divisions in all of UFC, the heavyweights. And, you know, guys, when you see Stipe and you say Francis, right? And then you look to your left and you see John Jones waiting. He's kind of waiting like Cell. He's kind of reminding me of Cell in Dragon Ball Z when he's just waiting, just chilling, just waiting. Oh, go ahead. Y'all can bang. Y'all can do. I'm waiting right here when y'all done. And if y'all seen John Jones, man, the guy is huge, man. He's big. He's putting on the weight, and he's in phenomenal shape. He doesn't look fat at all. He looks like he's just putting on muscle. So I'm excited. I'm excited right now. The heavyweight division is probably the most exciting as it's ever been in UFC. And, you know, get ready for a great UFC fight, guys. Probably, I know you another big guy. I don't know how big you are on Stipe, but, you know, this to me is going to be a dominant win for him.
I just want to start with that. I find it funny how everyone wants to talk about Stipe's immigrant mentality. Like, he wasn't born and raised in Ohio. Like, I love it when people say that, yo, because it's the funniest thing in the world.
His parents. Be like,
yeah, but that's not him. That's not him. That's like me. That's like me trying to be like, oh, yeah, bro. I got that Dominican pride in deep inside. It's like, nah, bro. I wasn't born there. It was just my mom, bro. But to address your point, I think Francis is going to win. I feel like he learned some. Now, to your point, you did say, oh, well, in his last fourth win streak, the photo for Glitchy, he's on, well, I haven't seen anything. It's because he doesn't need to show you nothing. And the last four, I'm going to run it by you. I'm going to run it by you. Listen to this. And imagine, close your eyes. Take a trip with me. Peter Curtis Blaze, 45 seconds. Cain Velasquez, 26 seconds. JDS, 1 minute, 11 seconds. Road to Strike, 20 seconds. Four knockouts. And by the way, when I told you the time, This isn't the second round. This isn't the third round. This is the first round. This dude is out here knocking dudes out.
In the context, same person, all those fights that you just mentioned don't even make one round of UFC.
That's what I'm saying. That's, bro, this dude is knocking dudes out in the same amount of time it takes me to get my girl pregnant. Like, let that sink in, bro. This dude is out here just knocking dudes out for, like, no reason. Now, that first fight, yes, the wrestling did get to him. But ever since then, he has been working on some wrestling. He has been working on some jiu-jitsu. He's never had to use it. Now, when it comes to the Stipe fight, obviously he's going to have to use it. That first fight, let's not act like Stipe ran over him, because he got touched. This Stipe, I don't know what religion he is, but he saw God. I am telling you, bro. This Stipe felt some shots. Look, I'm gonna tell you this right now. I've seen Francis Ngannou send dudes not to another planet. He sent dudes to an alternate dimension. This dude is just insane.
Remember when he knocked out Overeem? He back of his head touched his heels.
Bro, like let that sink in, bro. He's making heavyweights do gymnastics. Name one man who can do that, bro. Even Derek Lewis, and I love him, Mr. Balls. I love him to death, bro. But when he knocks dudes out, they go stiff. Yeah. When Ngannou knocks you out, you contemplate retirement. This dude, when he bro, it's nuts how he be touching dudes. I think he's gonna come in smarter, because here's the thing: when you're a champion, yes, you have all the physical gifts in the world. But what separates champions from contenders is the IQ. He's going to need to come in fighting smarter, and he's going to need to understand, because the first fight, he thought he was going to send this dude to a whole nother level, bro. He thought he was going to knock Stipe out in the first round.
Stipe did take his best punch, though. We got to admit, Stipe did his best punch.
So going on spaghetti legs is taking the best punch? Then I guess he took it. I mean, look, man, all I'm saying, he felt it. He felt it, period. You can cut it any way you want. But I'm going to tell you this right now. If I get into a fight with somebody and I feel their punch, my goal is not to put myself in that position again. Will I fight you again? Oh, yeah. But if you call me with that right, oh, I promise you I'm going left. Oh, I promise you won't hit me with that right. I don't care. I don't care what I got to do. Heck, I'll cheat and hit you with a bat if I have to. You're not hitting me with that right.
So you don't think Steve learned from that, though? You don't think Steve is going to duck left if he throws that right?
So. I don't think so. But it's just because – Stipe right now, based on what I've seen, he's confident to the point, and rightfully so. Yeah, absolutely. He's confident to the point where he feels like, I'll take your best shot. And you can do that with a lot of guys in that division. Truthfully, you really can. But not with Francis. You can't sit there and test him. And that's my worry. I feel like Stipe is going to basically dare him to be like, yo, I can take whatever you got. And if you do that with Francis, look, man, you just can't do that with Francis, bro. You know what I mean? It's all really going to come down to, in terms for Francis to win, he's got to use his IQ, and he's also got to use his stamina wisely. Coming deep into the third round, you could see he was starting to get a little gas. And when Stipe saw that, that's when Stipe started working a lot of takedowns. When he noticed when Francis is heavy breathing, you see his arms dropping more, and they're dropping because he's so exhausted and he's so drained. And when Stipe saw that, he goes, oh, this is going to be a breeze. I'm good at this point. So I do have Francis winning. I do believe he's going to knock him out, because I don't know, man.
Prediction.
No, it's not. Believe it or not, that's not even it. I feel like this take is hotter than my Blazing prediction. That's the crazy part. But I'm telling you, bro, something in my gut is telling me, take a loan out, make a bet. Stipe getting doubly knocked out tonight, bro. I'm sorry, tomorrow. He getting
Francis
knocked out.
Francis is a favorite,
out.
Bro. Francis is favored.
No, but no. I'm talking about knockout. Because I saw the odds. So for some reason, he's more likely to go to decision. I'm like, yo, betters, have you never seen UFC before? Do you not know who this man is? Like, yo,
you know why, though, big problem? They've seen this before from Francis. They see him go on a run where he's just straight flatline people, sending people to Jupiter. And then once he fought Stipe, handled it. So now they see it again.
But again, he's learned from that. You're making it seem like he's had like four or five title shots when he did this. This isn't Chael Sonnen. This isn't Chael. You feel me? Like, Chael was kind of the dude where, like, when he would get there, then something would happen, you know? I'm not going to put him there yet. I want to see how he fights this fight. I want to see how he fights the rematch. Because, like I said, I believe Francis can win. And the only, and honestly, I feel like the reason I'm doing this is because I want to see Francis Ngannou versus John Jones, bro. I feel like that's the reason I'm going with Francis, because I want to see that fight. Because after that, you know who's gonna, you know who getting that winner? The greatest fighter to ever grace God's green earth, Amanda Nunes. And I'm not joking. I need Amanda to fight the winner to prove she the GOAT. But anyway, I feel like this right now is Francis's time. I believe this is right now his best opportunity. I'm going to be a cornball, bro. I'm going to say it's going to be a knockout in the second round, JJ.
You know, you guys both make great cases, you know, for both fighters. And when I see both these guys are both monsters. Like I said, I think Titans wrap it up beautifully. You know, I had a buddy of mine earlier to tell me, like, oh, what would you do if Francis Ngannou slapped your girl's ass? Her ass has got slapped. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to stand up to that man and hit him.
No, fact, I'm going to grab his hand and I'm going to smack my own ass too.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what am I to do, Sander? Am I going to sit there and try to go against the guy that you said had the strongest punch? Come on, man. I love my face a little too much for that. But, you know, I do think that Stipe is going to win this fight. I just feel like you guys mentioned how, like, come the third round, you just notice that fatigue kick into Francis. And I think that it's going to be a tactic that Stipe is going to try to utilize again, which I think that Francis is actually going to try to avoid. I think he's going to try to make the fight finish as quickly as possible, possibly with a knockout punch, like you said, Pry, because that's probably his best option to go about it. And when I see it, when I see both these guys, I don't know. I feel like it could go either way, but I do think that Francis has the edge at the moment, because being the loser makes you have to work a little harder because you got to correct the things that you did wrong. Meanwhile, if I'm Stipe, you know I won the first fight. If I just stick to my game plan, I probably just have to redo what I did again. And that sometimes could be the wrong mentality when it comes to a fight. So I do think that both guys are going to go in with a lot of confidence. I do see both guys, when they both stand in the middle, when they start smelling each other's breath, that hatred is just going to come on. And we're going to see the best version of both these guys, because it's going to be an exciting fight to watch. And I don't know about you guys. I know we had a UFC event not too long ago where we had three championship fights, but I'm just as excited for this heavyweight bout.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, but the thing is, probably, I'm not saying Francis can't win this fight, but the only way he can win this fight for sure is if he's not. If he steps on my Jordans,
bro, it's crazy.
If he steps on my Jordans, I'll take them off and I'll just boom them. They're his now. Okay, go ahead, bro. They keep them. But the only way I think Francis has to go into this fight, bro, you can't win against a guy like Stipe when your significant strike percentage here is less than 40%. You understand? And the thing about Francis, when he connects, he almost kills people. I get that. But, dude, you need to connect. And you can't just be willing and flailing, because that's when you go into the deeper rounds with a guy that's experienced like Stipe, and then he puts the paws on you with the wrestling. Now, I understand that Francis has gotten better at wrestling. Dude, if Francis, at his size, was a lifetime wrestler, my Jesus, this wouldn't even be a competition. But Francis got into the fight game late, and you know, the jiu-jitsu game, the wrestling, the grappling game, it's all new to him. Stipe's been at it since a teenager, so I understand that he's gotten better, but I think the veteranship, and I think someone who has seen it all, I think that will prevail in this fight again.
I see what you're saying, but the thing is, Francis doesn't have to be better than Stipe in wrestling. He just has to be enough to stuff the takedown attempts, enough to give him a minute to recollect himself. That's all he really has to.
And you know what, Pryor, and I'll finish off with this. Better, easier said than done when it comes to a beast like Stipe. But if you guys enjoy the fight game, make sure you guys check out our CMG original podcast, Throwing Jabs, hosted by my man Big Jace and Jerry Jones. They're great. They break down fights and everything. Let me give you guys a trailer.
Shout out to Jared.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is our main event.
I just saw that. I just don't want to grab a beer and watch a fight
for
now.
For real, man.
I can't wait. I can't wait for this fight. Woo!
Yeah, like I said, make sure you guys catch Throwing Jabs with Big Chase and Jerry Jones. They're both really great. Joe Aguirre's on the show as well sometimes, and he also breaks them down great. But before we go.
By the way, not that Jerry Jones. Just throwing it out there.
Not that Jared Jones.
Jared.
Yes, yeah. I just want to make sure people don't think, oh, I heard Jerry. No, Skip. Oh, no.
This Jared Jones is a lot cooler, but he is a Cowboy fan, so they're close. But yeah, it's Friday, and it's my favorite topic of the week where we do our Blazing Weekend predictions. It's Friday, and we try to predict an event that happens over the weekend. So, Pride, let's see what your prediction is this week.
Yes, sir. And just real quick, I just want to touch up on some NFL news real fast. So, Marshon Lattimore, he got charged with a felony. So, the Saints, it don't get any better for them. It's something along the lines of receiving a stolen gun, which is like, I guess, a class 4 felony. They're still trying to figure out if he knew and all that hoopla. But as of right now, expect the Saints to probably send him, not really send him home, but probably make some announcement about, oh, we're going to investigate.
That's very unfortunate, Pride, because Marshon Lattimore is one of the better corners that we have in the league right now. So big hit for them.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Hopefully it was a misunderstanding, but, you know. We'll figure it out with time. But in terms of my Blazing prediction, I don't know, man. I feel like I talked myself into this. I don't know. I'm going to go on a hunch. I'm going to say number 11 Syracuse is just going to smack the bricks off of second-ranked Houston. I don't know. I feel like I'm being biased because of what I said before. I feel like I'm a little biased right now. I don't know, man. This team, they got moxie and they got confidence. I just want to sit on the bench. That's it. I love their vibe. I love how they vibe off each other, the energy they be giving each other. It's crazy. Obviously, I feel like my boy, but I'm going to start calling him. I'm calling myself Buddy from now on because he's a walking buddy. He's going to ball out. Probably going to drop a cool little 25, you know, because he's bored. Javar's going to hit some threes because, you know, he do his thing. Homeboy can shoot it. He's got a stroke, man. Quincy Gurrier, he's going to do all those little things. I touched on it before, but he reminds me a lot of when Draymond back then when Golden State was going through their run, the guy who does all the little stuff. He does all the little stuff to try to help and keep this team together, fighting for loose balls, being that scrappy player, rotating on defense. That's the stuff he does. So I think him and same thing with with Allen Griffin, he's going to do the same thing. He will help bring some of that energy. So I don't know, man. Call me what you want, bro. But I'm telling you right now, if you're listening to me for your betting advice, don't do it. Don't do it. But since I'm not putting no money up, I'm saying Syracuse is going to take the win over Houston this weekend.
Okay. That's spicy. That's very spicy. Well, guys, my Blazing prediction, I said it in our last topic. I don't know how this man is an underdog, and he's been the best champion in the heavyweight division. He has the most championship fights in heavyweight history. He has the most wins in championship fights in heavyweight history. And this man still doesn't get his respect because he's been the underdog in his past three fights. And it's just straight disrespectful. I got Stipe upset Francis Ngannou.
And I don't get it.
I don't even know. I can't even believe I said upsetting. I can't believe
it. I feel like the reason is just because of his four-fight win streak.
Yo, real quick. Sammy Watkins just signed with the Ravens. 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year, $6 million.
Nice pickup for them.
Yeah.
They need another guy. You know what I mean? So, I mean,
that was I mean, just got another receiver. What, to block? I mean, just put him on the bench and just have linemen line up out there because that's all he does.
But I got Stipe winning. That's my Blazing prediction.
I think that's a good one, Sanders. Like I said, I don't understand how this man is an underdog, especially after the resume he's been able to put up. To me, it's quite disrespectful if you ask me. But my Blazing prediction is I'm seeing a number one seed fall on in the tournament this weekend. I'm saying Villanova is going to upset number one Baylor in the tournament this weekend. I don't know if I'm still stuck up on that shot that they hit a couple of years ago to win the whole tournament. It was just one of the most amazing shots to me. It was so great. You know, it kind of gives me the same thing when Ray Allen hit that shot to beat the Spurs, you know, send that game to overtime. It just had like that vibe, but it was actually bigger because I actually won them the tournament. you know, and I don't know how they're going to do it, how much they're going to win by, what they're going to do, but I just got this feeling in my bones that you could come to me for your bets.
It's magical, baby. Don't come to me for bets, bro, because I'll be speaking blasphemous. From now on, people, if any of my predictions do the exact opposite, bro, I'm just keeping it above.
Let's not act like you didn't get it right last week, Pride. If you get this one right, you're on a streak, okay?
Yes, sir, bro. Right now, I'm like 1 for 15, so I'm confident.
Yeah, so that's my pick, guys. I think Villanova is going to beat number one seed Baylor. We're Stir the Pot Sports on a casual Friday. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Stir the Pot Sports. We got the spiciest memes to keep you updated with all the news. We're a CMG original podcast. Make sure you catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock. I'm JJ Vargas alongside my brother Sander Sanchez and Riley Barrett. Catch you on Monday.